I do remember our widows that we have. When I was a boy in this church, we had a number of them, precious saints, that it is biblically the responsibility of the church to care for, not their families, not anybody else. It's ours. And first of all, our responsibility. So do remember them. Have been a blessing to this church. Pray that we can be a blessing to them. A couple other things by way of announcement. Brother Eugene Rogers is in the hospital in Marquette, and due to a snowmobile accident with a broken pelvis. So do remember him in your prayers. Not sure when he'll be able to leave or come home. Hasn't seen the specialists yet that will tell him what they're going to do with him there versus moving him and different things. So pray for him and pray for his wife, as she'll be probably traveling to get him and caring for him for a period of time after that as well. Also, today we're taking up extra offering for conference hotel expenses. So we've already taken one offering at our evening offering. If you didn't do that already, you can mark your envelope to that effect, I imagine, and it'll get to the right place. So just keep that in mind. I think it's the first of like four or something that we do. So if you missed it, it's not a big deal. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. Chronicles begin with the genealogies that sometimes bore us as New Testament believers. There are a number of golden nuggets tucked away in the genealogies wherever you read them, whether you read them in Genesis or Matthew or Chronicles. There are some nuggets in there. But I will say that the genealogies as a whole are precious, but we don't view them that way because we find them boring. But these are names of God's people, and they're precious. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 22, the last part of it, after saying so-and-so was the father of so-and-so and begat so-and-so and begat so-and-so, he says, and these are ancient things. And it's to draw attention to that. It's to draw attention to the preciousness of this history. These are historical things. That word there means historical in several ways. It means historical as in old, but it means historical as in recorded. It's a record. These are ancient things. These are precious things. You and I that are believers, these are our history. Every one of us. These are our heritage. Of ourselves individually, of Home Missionary Baptist Church as a whole, this is our history. This is our heritage. We own it, nobody else. That ought to make it precious. It also ought to make it precious because it's God's people. And he had a record of each one of them in these tribes. These things are ancient things. They're recorded things. They're historical. Of the Bible is an amazing book. It doesn't compare to anything else. I don't say that just theologically. Physically speaking, if you could forget for a moment, though I would not have you to do that, that this is the Word of God, physically speaking, it is amazing. There are over 5,000 Greek manuscripts that support this book, 10,000 Latin manuscripts, 55,000 quotations in other writings of history. In other historical, unearthed documents, 55,000 quotations. Plus many other manuscripts, Hebrew, Chaldee, Coptic, targums and fragments and songs and journals of other people unearthed containing the Word of God. Let me give you, just for comparison's sake, there are 200 manuscripts of Shakespeare, for comparison's sake. Absolutely no comparison to the history of this book. There was a time in the whole world where you didn't teach history without opening this book. That was common. It was common not just in schools, it was common in colleges. There was a time that this book was the source of history. Thousands of years of many documents that have gone away, but one has survived. One has survived in a magnificent way, despite being many trying to destroy it. Many tried to wipe it out, and yet it just keeps getting unearthed all over the place. And every time it's unearthed it in another place, it bears witness of its truth, of its cohesiveness, of its consistency. It really, truly is amazing. I want to look this morning at the record of God, or God is a record keeper. When it said there, these are ancient things. In other words, these are recorded things. These are kept by the great curator. These things are preserved. God is a record keeper, and as we look through the Bible, He keeps record of a lot of things. And in some ways, this ought to disturb us. If you're lost, I pray that it disturbs you greatly. God's a record keeper. You know, sometimes in our marriages, we keep score. And we're not a very good scorekeeper. We're not good record keepers, you know. This morning I was teaching Sunday school and I wrote Luke 12 and not Luke 22. And you know what? We make mistakes. We're not good record keepers. When my wife and I play Scrabble and I have a big score, I'll count it up to make sure she's got it right, you know. If it's little, I don't really worry about it. But I got to make sure that, you know. And if I lose, I go back through, man. I got the calculator out. Like, I'm looking for the... We always lose in our house by like 3 points. It's like, ugh. So you don't want to play Scrabble with me and my wife. We probably won't be friends anymore. Kevin and Christina will never do that again. They made that mistake one time and they'll never... But you know, we're not good record keepers. We make mistakes. I'm very dyslexic. I write things wrong. We're not good record. God is a record keeper. And I want to call your attention to a number of different books in God's library, because there's a bunch of them, and it's kind of neat. Daniel chapter number 7, we're introduced to one of them. Daniel chapter number 7. Let's read verse number 9. Daniel's getting his vision from God. And he says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit." I want us to dwell a little bit as we look at this upon the antiquity of the things of God. Our salvation that was recorded before the foundations of the world. We're a part of a great antiquity. "And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." Books, plural. God has record. And He's a very accurate record keeper. There's coming a day in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 12, we see this scene brought forth in the book of Revelation. The books were open. John records it this way. He said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the throne of God, and the books were open." The books, plural. There are a number of types of books that God has. One of my favorite is in Malachi chapter number 3. I believe that in Malachi 3, this is just a tiny window of many instances throughout history. In Malachi chapter 3, there was a very difficult time in Israel's history. A time when most people had forsaken the Lord, but there was a few people. There was a few people that served the Lord, and we find in Malachi 3 verse 16, it says, "And then they that feared the Lord," there was a lot of people forsaking the Lord at this time, "but against the grain, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." This is a neat book. I would like to be in a book like this. A book where there was a people that went against the grain, that did something that nobody else was doing at that time, when everyone was forsaking the Lord and everyone was murmuring and everyone was complaining. There was a group of people that just couldn't help but grab one another and say, "Isn't the Lord good?" They couldn't resist coming together and talking about the Lord. That was what was on their mind when they got together. You know, a lot of times we get together and work is on our mind and sports is on our mind. And this was a group of people that they couldn't wait to get together and say, "Isn't the Lord good? I mean, He has been so good." And they want to talk about it. And God said, "We got to write this down." Isn't that horrible? That should be a shocking event? That should be even noteworthy at all? But it was. It was noteworthy to God that this group of people, against adversity, against the odds, they didn't just say in a hypocritical way, they didn't just say it because they were at church, they didn't just say it because they were at temple. It just flowed out of them at times. They said, "Boy, God is good." And they said that, and God took note. And another book was added to the library of God. That's the kind of book I want to end up in. Exodus chapter 32, if you turn there. This is the great intercessory prayer of Moses. Moses here is in this moment is a picture of Christ. The intercessory prayer that he prays is exactly what Christ did do for us. In Exodus 32, Israel had sinned. They'd made gods of gold. And Moses comes before the presence of God and he says in verse 32, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, Lord, if you won't forgive your people of their sins, blot me out of your book." There's a book that has the names of the people of God. That's a thought that we all ought to ponder. Through the Bible, it's called the Book of Life. Philippians chapter 4, Revelation 3, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Revelation 20. We won't turn to all of those. Throughout the Bible, it's called the Book of Life. I can't even fathom what Moses was asking there. Completely beyond me. The level of selfishness that I live in. Completely beyond me. He said, "Blot me out for the sake of this people. Trade me for them. Because God had told his people, he said, Moses, stand back. I'm going to wipe them all out. He said, Lord, no, 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 no. Please, please don't do that. Several times God said this to Moses. One time he said it to Moses and Joshua. He said, you guys step in the temple and I'm going to wipe everybody else out. And the Lord said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Save these people. He said, blot me out. I can't even fathom that prayer. But I know that Christ went there for you and me. Verse 33, the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out. It's a scary thought. The record keeping of God ought to scare us to death. Him will I blot out. Moving on, there's a lot of other books that I want to look at. That's the most important one for you to think about. Psalm 139. Oh, what a library God must have. Perhaps as we dwell in eternity, we can check out some books. Psalm 139, verse 16. Well, let's read verse 15 so we understand what he's saying. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, when I was formed as an embryo. I was not hid from you, Lord. Thine eyes did see my substance being unperfect or unfinished. Lord, you could see me, yet I was not finished. And in thy book were all my members written. There's a book of exactly what I would be. God had it planned. In thy book, all my members were written. It's interesting. Lord ever give you a name for one of your kids before they're born? And then they come along and they just fit that name. Just, you know, the Lord has it planned. I believe that. I believe the Lord named my children, not me. We always kind of laugh about Benjamin. The doctors told us he didn't exist, and we were concerned and worried, and seemed like she was losing the baby. I was out at a Bible conference in Oregon, and I couldn't get home. And she said, I have peace. And I've named it Benjamin. I don't know what it is, but I call it Benjamin. And I said, well, that's a good thing, because Benjamin survived. The Lord said to Rachel, he said, thou shalt have this son also. She thought she was going to lose him, and the Lord said, you'll have this son also. And we did have that child, just, even though the doctor said we wouldn't. And he came forth, and he was left-handed, just like the tribe of Benjamin, first lefty of the group. And he's been tender and small like Benjamin. So the Lord has all those things written down before we're born in a book, just how it would be, just how it would happen. These are ancient things. And these are precious things. Isaiah chapter number 4. Verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Isaiah 4:3 there. God had a list of the living in Jerusalem. We're told in the New Testament that the hairs of our head are numbered. God knows every one of them. He knows every sparrow. He knows every person that's alive on this planet. He knew everyone that was there in Zion. So there was a book of the living in Zion. While we're close, Jeremiah chapter 17. Another one that's maybe a little more scary. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. Sin of Judah. And it is graven upon the table of the heart and upon the horns of your altars. God is a record keeper. Keeps track. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, we won't turn there. But in Matthew 12 and verse 36, says that we'll stand before the judgment throne of God and give an account for every idle word. Idle words are words that we just even just breathed under our breath. Every single thing, give an account of. God keeps track. God has a record. Daniel, again, chapter number 12. Verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, he said that three times, at that time. It's a specific time in the book of Revelation. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This particular "that people," I believe, refers to, and there's several passages, but we won't look at it, refers to the 144,000 that are sealed in that tribulation period. We can bring that out in Matthew and Revelation, but this other book that we have here are, I believe, those people that are sealed in the book of Revelation, that the tribulation not harm them. If we read that story there, the angels had all of their vials full of the seven last plagues, and they're about to pour them out on the earth, and one of them stands up and says, "Wait! We've got to seal these people. We've got to protect these people at this time." And I believe that there's a book recorded of who those people are. All of this ties into the election of God. I mean, if he's had these books for thousands and thousands of years, he knows what he's put in them. I mean, he knows what he's doing. Just a couple of more books, and then we will move on to our next point. Psalm 56. Psalm 56, for those of you that are dealing with different things in your life right now. Difficulty, pain, struggles, and you feel like nobody notices. You ever feel that way? You're going through something that is so heavy and so big, and somebody who is so close to you ought to know you're having problems, but they don't. And they lay something else on you. You know, you're in it. And they say, "Hey, can you come help me with this?" And you're thinking, "Don't they know how heavy I am right now? What I'm going through? Doesn't anybody know?" Psalm 56, verse 8. "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" The Lord knows every ounce. Every ounce of fluid that has run down your face, It's recorded. He knows all about it. It's measured out. He knows the day, the exact day, that He'll place joy back into your life again. It's all written out. He understands what you're going through very well.
Lord, in my life. Keep rewriting it. Keep intervening in my life. Intervene in my children's lives. Keep intervening, Lord. Don't stop. Please, don't stop. Oh, what a library God has. There's a lot of good things, a lot of comforting things, a lot of scary things, a lot of things that need to be blotted out by the grace of God. We'll stop there and have a song. Consider these things. You don't need to talk to me. I'd be happy to talk to you. You need to talk to the Lord. He's the only one. I can't rewrite the book. He's the only one that can. Have a song and be dismissed.